What a show for you today. It is the wide receiver position preview. Could not miss this with my guy, Dalton Del Don. We have an electric episode for you today. We break down the position in full. We talk about the tier one players going at the top of your draft that you need to target. We talk through where the tiers break in terms of where we're higher on guys, consensus ADP, who are we fading, who are we targeting, who are the guys you need to draft in the late rounds. Enough of this nonsense. Let's waste no more time. Let's get into it. It's Thursday, August 15th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is my good pal, the one and only, been holding it down on the podcast for me here the last couple days, Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? Pianowski did a great job filling in for you, but you were missed, and it's great to have you back, my man.
It's good to be back, and, you know, some would say, arguably, just in time, because today, Dalton, is position preview week. We know that, but it's the wide receiver show. So, yeah, a lot going on here. No need to get into it, but a lot going on here in my life, but couldn't miss the wide receiver preview show with you, Dalton, because this one's been on the books for a while, and I'm super excited to get into it with you. But before we do that, exciting announcement here on the podcast. The Fantasy Mailbag is open for business the rest of August, starting next week at the end of every show. That's right. Every single show, we are going to be answering the pressing questions you have heading into your most important drafts. You can tweet at me. I'll be sure to tweet this out at the beginning of the week, so you can hit me up there. You can also get bumped to the front of the line by submitting your questions via voice or video memo to fantasymailbag@yahoosports.com. Our goal is to get to as many of your questions as possible. Now, that being said, let's try to make these questions good, okay? If they're bad questions, they're not going to make the show. And what I mean by a bad question, I don't know. That's up to you to decide. But try to be specific. Try to not be just specific to your team or who should I take in the fifth round, question mark. Like, be specific about it, that whole thing. You guys are smart. You're listeners to this show. You're followers and fans of Dalton Del Don, for God's sake. So we know you're a super smart fantasy football player. So, yeah, again, you could tweet those to me, at @MattHarmon_BYB. Just make sure you let me know it's in the fantasy mailbag. And obviously, fantasy mailbag, yahoosports.com. We're going to do those at the end of every show. That is pretty exciting here as we push our way through August. But like I said at the top, we're continuing position preview week here on the show, and it's wide receivers. Like I said, we could not miss the wide receiver show this week. So, Dalton, let's do kind of like the overall vibe of the position for you this year. How do you feel about the wide receiver board where it starts all the way up at the top and kind of going through drafts?
Yeah, receiver remains the most important position in PPR leagues, a position that gets attacked the most these days. Of course, it's huge if you hit on the right running back, but receiver, I'd like to have, you know, four of them through the first seven rounds at least. And I'm excited to get to talk to you about this position because you chart all these guys and the rankings are difficult. I mean, I would argue that maybe from wide receiver 11 to wide receiver 31 is a big tier that really could be rearranged anyway. So I'm pumped to talk about these specifically.
Yeah, I'm super excited to get into that specific meat of the wide receiver position because it's just a really interesting group that I think you can go youth, you can go with some veterans who are in sneaky spots. I actually just made a bunch of adjustments to my rankings yesterday, like late last evening, last night. And so that specific section of the draft, I took a lot of time and care and sort of looking there. But I want to actually start all the way up at the top of the board, Dalton, because there's pretty much four consensus tier one receivers. There's CeeDee Lamb, there's Tyreek Hill, there's Ja'Marr Chase, there's Justin Jefferson. And it's interesting because three of those names have some kind of serious questions about them right now hanging over them. You know, for Lamb and Chase, there are contractual issues. These guys are just like Brandon Ayuk, but he's a little bit further down. We'll talk about him here in a second, but you know, at least with Ayuk, sort of the 10, I hate to talk about the situation because things have seemingly changed so much, and at the same time, nothing has happened. But unlike Ayuk, who there's at least some rumblings now that this thing is pretty close, it doesn't seem all that close. And again, this could age like milk. I get that. But, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase are at least holding out. There's some talks that they might even be willing to miss games. And then you have Justin Jefferson, who we just found out today that his rookie quarterback, I'm sure you guys talked about on the podcast yesterday, that he's going to miss some time, J.J. McCarthy. But we found out today that he's going to miss the entire season. So we are looking at 17 games of Sam Darnold here, most likely. So the only one, Dalton, who's kind of got a clean prognostication coming to the year is Tyreek Hill. How do we feel about those four tier one receivers at this point?
I do think there's a concern with these hold-ins. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is still my wide receiver one, but is he not going to sign until just before week one? There's got to be some added injury concern. Same with Ja'Marr Chase. It sounds like his hold-in is going to come down to right before the season. I expect these deals to get done. Take this with a giant grain of salt, Harmon, but a doctor I like on Twitter was talking about how CeeDee Lamb apparently stayed up all night playing video games, but was still working out at 7 a.m. And people were, you know, calling him a beast. And he's like, how I look at that is this is increased soft tissue injury, someone not worrying about his sleep habits. So again, take it with a grain of salt, but these guys aren't practicing with the team all the way up until possibly September. I think that is something you should consider when you're debating your first round pick. I still want Ja'Marr Chase if I have the pick 8 and 7 guys are off the board. Don't get me wrong, but maybe I do go Justin Jefferson over him. Obviously, Jefferson has his own question marks. Sam Darnold did have DJ Moore be the wide receiver 4 once. Jefferson, the most receiving yards of all time, averages per game. Pretty big numbers in 4 games without Cousins last year. But right before we went on here, I saw a tweet saying that Minnesota, I don't know if it was fake news, but that they're interested in trading for Derek Carr after the McCarthy news.
So I saw that too. I was not sure if it was real?
Because, I mean, Darnold feels like there, and then we got Mullins as a backup there too. But obviously, Jefferson has a question at the quarterback position. So, yeah, maybe you bump up Amon-Ra St. Brown, who doesn't have these questions. And like you said, Tyreek Hill maybe should be the number one receiver because, yeah, it's been kind of quiet how the Lamb and Chase news hasn't really lowered them on their draft boards. But it's a mild concern, at least.
Yeah, Hayden Winks from Underdog Fantasy pointed out that between Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins, there were 3 top 5 quarterback finishes between those guys. And obviously for I've talked a lot about the Nick Mullins era in Minnesota, you know, era in heavy quotation marks there, where it was not exactly good football, but it was exciting football to watch because Mullins is your guy. Nick Mullins has no hesitation to just push it, you know, to stand there in the barrel and just shoot it downfield, man. So I think that's pretty interesting when you're considering Jefferson with Sam Darnold. I actually don't think, famous last words, man, I don't think it's a huge downgrade for Justin Jefferson to be sitting here thinking like, oh yeah, he's going to play 17 games with Sam Darnold. You know, it's certainly not ideal, but he is a unnaturally talented receiver as Justin Jefferson. Also worth noting today, again, Minnesota, What a wild couple of days for Minnesota. Jordan Addison was actually carted off of practice today. Now, it doesn't sound like a super serious ankle injury, but, you know, Addison, if he loses any targets there, that's only more work that's going to go to Jefferson's plate.
And then one other thing I'll note about these hold-ins is it's another decision to make, like, do you have the number one pick? I might lean CMC over Lamb here. Obviously, CMC has his question marks as well, but Bijan or Breece Hall versus Chase, yeah. You know, maybe that's the tiebreaker. And I didn't hit on our guy Ayuk, whom I have is the wide receiver 11 if he stays on the Niners. If he goes to the Steelers, I'd have to think about it. But I mean, I don't know, yeah. Mid-20s I would drop him to. Obviously would crush Pickens. But maybe that's too extreme. But I'd definitely drop him significantly from leaving the Niners if he goes to Wilson and Justin Fields. And it'd crush my Pickens value. So that is the biggest domino we need to see where it falls.
Yeah, Mike again. This could age like milk. Totally get it. But my guess is he stays in San Francisco. It does seem like it's trending that way. There's just a few details that need to be ironed out. But yeah, for me, I have Ayuk as my wide receiver 9, assuming he stays on the 49ers. I'm looking at my ranks right now, and I don't know that I would get him even if he was on the Steelers. I think he'd still be, you know, in the early 20s, maybe very late teens. I do think it would take Pickens down an entire tier for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's fair. I mean, we know Ayuk's the man, most yards ever for the amount of targets he got, fewer than 110 targets last season. You look, the scary thing as a Niner fan, you look at the EPA on the field, and when he leaves, he's by far the most important player among all the stars. I mean, I know that those could be some noise in those stats, But sure. I don't have to tell you how good Ayuk is. Man, I'll be devastated as a Niner fan if they lose him. And to not get like a Amari Cooper back too, if you get just picks from the Steelers, I mean, obviously it would lower Ayuk in the rankings. I'm sorry, I'd lower Purdy in the rankings. And it would hurt their Super Bowl chances. And you know, this is their year where they're all in.
It makes no sense. That's why I feel like it's not going to happen. That's why I felt like it was almost never going to happen.
But Ayuk upset Shanahan, man. Ayuk really upset Shanahan. I'm deep into this stuff following, and something happened there. And I think there. So I hope you're right. It makes too much sense for him to stay here. Such a good downfield blocker. You know, I mean, Shanahan, you know, molded him into this awesome receiver he is today. So hopefully they can work it out. But I'm still not super, super confident. So my wife is refreshing Twitter the last 2 weeks, honestly, all day long. It's pretty funny over here. The Ricky guy, you know, having us nervous nonstop, the Steelers, and it's been a wild ride over here as a Niner fan.
Yeah, again, I almost don't want to talk about it anymore just because things have changed so quickly. But yeah, that is definitely a building that's run with a lot of emotion. Let's just put it that way. And I think we've seen the result of that over the last couple of weeks here. I do just quickly, before we move on from these tier one receivers, because look, this is important. We can talk about sleepers and breakouts and blah, 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 blah. But like getting the first picks right in your fantasy draft certainly matters. And you made the point about weighing these running backs against these wide receivers. I really, really like Bijan Robinson, and I really like Breece Hall this year. The more I've thought about Bijan, actually, who I think I have as my running back three. Yeah, I currently have Bijan as my running back three. Breece Hall is my running back two. You know, I was in a lot of drafts the last few days, including some of the ones at the expo that we talked about. I really spent up for Bijan Robinson in the salary cap draft, the Kings Classic. I took him very high in the flex league draft with our buddy Jake Seeley. I've definitely, he's a guy that I've come around to is pretty much a clear cut top five pick in fantasy right now. Love the upside. I think he's a really nice dark horse bet. I don't know. You know, look, I'm speaking out of turn about the odds and all that stuff, but I feel like he's a nice bet for offensive player of the year is Bijan Robinson. And all of these wide receiver holdouts, like I've definitely pushed him up over my overall rankings over like Jamar Chase, over, a Justin Jefferson. I think I might still take Lamb and Tyreek Hill ahead of Bijan Robinson, but he's been a clear cut like top five pick for me this year ahead of some of these wide receivers, which I didn't think I would say to start this year. But Dalton, when you're weighing Hall and Robinson against some of these top tier receivers, sort of where's the break for you?
Yeah, on Fantasy Pros half PPR, I've had it McCaffrey 1, Hall 2, Robinson 3. And because of these questions with the receivers, I might even have the same in PPR. I just got the number one pick in a high stakes league over the weekend. And I don't know, Harmon. I want to go, you know, where the puck's going, not where it's been. Do I go Breece Hall? I'm a Niners guy, but McCaffrey, 400 plus touches in this calf injury, but he's so good. 2,100 yards, 21 touchdowns, and he missed a game last year. So I don't know. I'm going to be thinking about this over the weekend. And Bijan Robinson's right there too, right there. I mean, so close. I think I love those guys, but I love the guys who have, you know, their biggest season's yet to come, not just coming off one. But I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I know a certain fantasy analyst who was telling me that the number one pick in 2024 or was it 2025 was easily going to be Breece Hall.
No, it's going to be this year. Yeah. So I should listen to myself, and make it happen. All right, Harmon, I might go that way.
Yeah, you're one of the most accurate rankers in the game. You're the expert of seeing where the puck is going. I think you got to listen to yourself, pal. If you're feeling it, just go down with your own gut. Okay. Yeah. So forget about it. I'm with you. Let's go with the Breece Hall there. I couldn't do it, but you're much more of a fearless man than I am. Like you've got the stones that I don't, pal. That has been very made clear over this podcast over the years. Okay, so that's tier one at wide receiver. I want to start talking about where these next tier drops occur, tier two, tier three, etc. So for me, Dalton, I have a pretty select group of second tier receivers. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown, AJ Brown, Puka Nacua, Garrett Wilson. Is that it for tier two, or are there other players we should consider in this group?
Yeah, we're just going to nitpick on what tiers. To me, it's almost there's a big eight, and it would include Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, AJ Brown, and even Harrison I'd throw in there. Then to me, it's like a big difference in draft boards. Like I'm going Cooper Kupp next. I'm picking Cooper Kupp next. full PPR, I'll take him in the beginning of the second round if I have to. If I don't like any of these receivers because he's not coming back anymore into the third. So that's to me is there's this big eight. No one really argues those eight, right? And I see St. Brown ranked ahead of I think Dwayne McFarland has St. Brown ahead of like Jefferson and maybe even Chase now. But so I think he's pretty interesting that you don't put him in there as that tier one to me. But I get it. He doesn't go downfield near like the other receivers. But to me, there's a top eight. And then a big jumble mess, especially with Puka suffering the injury. I mean, I'm happy with your Ayuk having him number 9, but that's where, to me, it all starts changing on everyone's board.
Yeah, see, for me, I think tier 3 begins at Brandon Ayuk at number 9 and honestly goes all the way down to, you know, DK Metcalf and Michael Pittman at wide receiver 22 and 23 to me. I think that is the fat tier of receivers where those guys could be second-round picks. I think they could also be more like early fourth round picks. That's a huge grouping there. And really, I don't think there's a ton. We could talk about guys I have below consensus, maybe a few of them in this range. Honestly, there's only like maybe one or two. But for the most part, that I think is tier 3. I get it. The St. Brown thing. I hate this. I actually said this to James Coe a couple of months ago that, you know, I was one of the biggest like Amon-Ra St. Brown backers like back in the day. And now it's like you, I think I said, it's almost like the line from the Dark Knight, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That's sort of been my journey with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Cause now like Lions fans, unless you say he's a top 3 receiver, or you know, whatever, you're like below consensus on Amon-Ra St. Brown or you're too low on St. Brown. A lot of like dynasty bros in my Discord are constantly on my ass about being too low on St. Like he's a tier 1 receiver and I have him as the top or, you know, one of the top 2 guys in tier 2, which I also kind of think is true from an NFL perspective too. But yeah, I think it's the downfield ability. And look, like this is a guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has shown over his first 3 seasons an ability to get better each and every year, to take progressive steps to improve as a player, specifically against press coverage on the outside. So I don't want to sit here and say that there's a 0% chance that he can become a great downfield receiver in year 4 and year 5 and like on throughout his career. But we haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen that like I can take 3 plays and win you a week. It's more like I need to get you 13 targets to win you a week, which by the way is just like fantasy nonsense, you know. And it's where he wins as a player more so than anything else. Like he's so good at what he does, but there are some limitations in his game that aren't necessarily present in a CeeDee Lamb, a Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and that's just why I still have him as that top of tier 2 player.
I think we're both right here, and you're just arguing real life versus, and I'm arguing fantasy as far as this extended tier. I mean, I think yeah, that's sure. really fair here. I mean, yes, I don't put him in the same category in real life, but fantasy wise with the targets, I think he's. I mean, I you know, you don't think it's a big difference between St. Brown and Chase this year, do you? Fantasy PPR?
Well, I do. I do think there's so a tier break between
those
guys.
In fantasy,
so, yeah.
Still in fantasy. Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, because right. Look, man, like I mean, with who Ja'Marr Chase is, and also who his quarterback is. He can win you a week if he gets you 3 targets. Right. Like he's not gonna get three targets, but there are scenarios, and it might be this is why this stuff does matter. Like it's very nitpicky, but in a game where Amon-Ra St. Brown gets you 3 targets, those are probably not gonna. And again, that's very very unlikely, but it is within the range of outcomes, and we're picking nits here. He's not gonna win you a week on 3 targets because he either does not have the ability or he has not been used in that way so far. And like I said, he's one of my favorite receivers in the league. He's one of my favorite like work ethic guys in the entire league. So if he at this point in his career comes out in this season in his 4th year and is just he's taking another step as a player, I wouldn't be surprised because that's who he's been so far in the NFL. So we're definitely nitpicking on this stuff, and I think we can push forward here. But I do want to talk in that third tier of receivers for me, or again, maybe you see it differently, but this is a huge group to me. Do you have any specific guys you really like in this third tier? Or when do you think we transition out of that third tier into the fourth?
Okay, before we move into that one, just want to say in your tier 2, the one guy who is the, you know, the most likely to be the number one receiver off the board next year, in my mind, is Garrett Wilson. I know he hasn't done it yet, but if Aaron Rodgers somehow stays healthy, talk about all the ability there. That's the guy who's going to be your number one receiver totally. In 2025 if things go right. So you said this next tier, tier 3, you know, all the way down to your Pittman wide receiver 23. I have Pittman as my wide receiver 28 in half PPR. Mm. But I could see the argument, whatever. That's how big this tier is for me. Drake London's my wide receiver 12. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiving season, and he had 2 touchdowns last year. I mean, we are projecting there. Same with Olave. Adams is a guy I'm probably avoiding just on the downward trajectory, but all those targets help his floor. And I like Malik Nabers more than you. I'm really in on Waddle. We could go on and on here. I like Amari Cooper more than most. He's my wide receiver 19. I like him this year more than Mike Evans. Mike Evans goes higher than him in almost every draft. Last year, Godwin had the same ADP as Evans for a reason. Godwin played hurt all last year. Now he's playing the slot. He's due for touchdown regression. Canales left. I mean, I get Evans is a touchdown machine, but he's in the whatever year of his career and at 31. And Cooper, if you look at the numbers when he'd had, even Deshaun Watson and Flacco, he was like a top 8 or something receiver last year. And I think he's just criminally underrated. Not a flashy guy I'm usually after, you know, but our guy Elijah Moore can't stay healthy, dealing with concussion. Your guy Jerry Jeudy can't stay healthy. I think Cooper's one of those boring veterans. Who I would even like. I mean, I have him as a top 20 wideout.
I like it. I like it a lot. And yeah, there are guys in my fourth tier that I don't even necessarily love clicking. You know, I love Terry McLaurin, but you know, are we going to be stuck in kind of another 1,100 yard, 5 touchdown type of season? You know, the Steph Diggs versus Tank Dell thing. We were doing a mock draft today. I have those guys pretty much back to back in my rankings, and I have Steph Diggs a couple spots ahead, but I went Tank Dell today, you know, so it's like kind of how do I feel in the moment? Honestly, that's the group to me where I think you can just take rankings and like throw them out the window, man, because it's just who do you like in this group and everything there. So, okay, I love that. I think we got a good sense of sort of the tiers and where things change and the evolution of draft boards this year. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will dive into Dalton and I's biggest differences with consensus ADP at the wide receiver position right after this. All right, Dalton, we're back. Let's talk where we stand versus consensus. A couple guys you are higher on than consensus: Cooper Kupp, Malik Nabers, George Pickens, Tank Dell, and Deontay Johnson. I want to start with Deontay Johnson here because how am I not higher than consensus on Deontay Johnson? I technically am. Expert consensus ranks have him as wide receiver 35. I have him as wide receiver 31. He seems like just such an easy value pick, but what do you think the ceiling is on a guy like this?
He grades better than Justin Jefferson in ESPN's open score over the last 5 seasons. He earned a full green route tree from the indispensable reception perception. Only Devontae Adams, Diggs, Jefferson, Tyreek Hill have more targets than Johnson over 2020 and 2022 before he dealt with injuries last year. This Bryce Young obviously is a problem in this offense, but I'm just buying into Canales here. Young had some, you squint enough, he was ranked 4th in accurate throw rate to open receivers, not including screens. His completion percentage above expectation was anything but a disaster. It was on par with Jordan Love, better than Mahomes last year. Lowest turnover-worthy throw rate in NFL last year on plays with motion and or shift. Canales is going to bring a ton of that. I mean, there's no one else on the Panthers to throw to. Adam Thielen was a top 10 fantasy receiver in PPR for like multiple weeks last year. So Deontay Johnson can get open. Last year, the Panthers had the struggled mightily to separate, and Johnson had the best separation win rate in the league. You know, I don't need to hype up Deontay to you, right? I mean, it's a bad, I get it. It's not the great environment, but man, how is he not looking at 150 targets and he's not even being drafted as a top 35 wideout?
Yeah, that's the thing, is I feel like he's a lock to outkick his ADP. And just because I really like him as a player, I do think there's a higher ceiling maybe than most people anticipate. I think some of the inefficiency of his targets over the last few years had a lot to do with how he was being deployed, Matt Canada's offense, because we saw last year career best yards per route run, career best yards per target, career high average depth of target, and a lot of that had to do with deployment. And I really trust Dave Canales to get the deployment right of this player. So I am with you on the Deontay Johnson one. I want to talk about Malik Nabers here because I've definitely moved up Malik Nabers in my ranking. So where do you have him right now at this point?
Nabers is my wide receiver 15, right below Devontae Adams. But if I had I'm taking him above Adams if I'm really in a draft there. He's going in the second round of some PPRs when you gave me a hard time going in the third before the injury. I don't love all this hype, obviously. I mean, it's crazy. All these highlights, he's beating all these, you know, Lions defenders in practice and his ADP's soaring. I don't know if it's caught up on Yahoo yet, but if you can get him in the fourth round, by all means, do.
Yeah, I have him as my wide receiver 20. I feel really good about that. I bumped him ahead of some guys that I was kind of lukewarm on. I pushed him up to tier three, which just made tier three even fatter, honestly. But again, my tier three goes all the way up to wide receiver 9. So I do think that's like a top 10 finish is within his range of outcomes. I do think it's unlikely just because of, you know, the quarterback situation. That's the funny thing about this, man. You know, I've done this so many times with wide receivers that are super talented. And we just focus on how good they are and how like they might earn targets and all of this stuff. And then we get halfway through October and like, man, but his quarterback stinks. Like that is what might happen with Malik Nabers, where we get this excited. So I do think that I've kind of tried to be a little, I don't know, I want to say realistic about what his possible range of outcomes here and possible floor is, both from a weekly and season long basis.
I also think there's a real risk that Daniel Jones is benched because I believe it's the same situation as far as non-injury guarantee. Like they want to get out of his contract. So if they're projected to have one of the worst records in the league. So he could get, even if he's healthy, benched the final month of the year. Something to think about in super flex leagues. And I don't know, their backup got hurt, Drew Lock, right? Hopefully that could be a downgrade from Jones. It really could.
Absolutely, it could. By the way, this is total tangent. But I saw a tweet a couple of weeks ago from the account was at It's Giants Season, SZN. And it was it was quote tweeting a training camp highlight of Marvin Harrison Jr. running a go route over Sean Murphy Bunting, who's like a professional NFL corner, and just basically said, I don't know how to explain it, but after watching Neighbors for 2 weeks, the lack of aura in this video is crazy to me. That was honestly, I think some of that was just the difference of people that loved Malik Nabers and people that loved Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know how to explain it either, but like Malik Nabers has more aura than Marvin Harrison Jr. But I think Harrison Jr. is a better prospect. You know, I had him as my number one prospect in the class. It's just like what Nabers does really well is super flashy. Also thought it was hilarious that people like, well, we've seen all these training camp highlights from Malik Nabers, but nothing from Marvin Harrison Jr. Like I said on the podcast a couple weeks ago, one of them plays for a New York team. One of them plays for Arizona. Like, what do you think the aggregators want to get you retweeting? It's definitely Giants Twitter. Okay. So, I still really like both of these players. It's not training camp hype that's brought Nabers up for me. It's just kind of looking at him from an upside perspective versus some of the other players that I had in his tier earlier. And I just think Nabers has a higher ceiling, but I do think the floor risk is still worth talking about here. I feel like we talked a lot about Cooper Kupp. Oh, go ahead.
I want to talk to you about Pickens because I'm really concerned. Yes. I'm overrating him. I understand this is worthless if Ayuk gets traded there. Assuming he's not, have him as my wide receiver 21, and he's another receiver with a shaky quarterback play. Is this too aggressive, Harmon? I feel like you're going to tell me that. His full season's pace without Deontay last year was 1,500 yards, 9 touchdowns, 140 targets. He had a 38.4% first read target rate over that span. Good yards per out run numbers, a bit of a big play merchant, but he'll finally be able to run routes over the middle of the field with Matt Canada gone. Kenny Pickett has the lowest TD percentage among 391 quarterbacks with at least 500 attempts in NFL history. I mean, the quarterback will be an upgrade this year no matter what. Justin Fields made DJ Moore a top 5 fantasy guy last year. I don't know. You just don't think Pickens is the alpha that I want him to be, I'm guessing. The route running's not there. There's no one on this depth chart. No one. Yeah. I mean, Freiermuth's battling for routes, even the tight end. I mean, Roman Wilson. I mean, come on. How is Pickens not going to just eat?
Yeah, I think he could have like a 28% target share and have a Drake London rookie season type of usage because that is literally what happened with Drake London. Mm-hmm. By the way, you mentioned he's going to be running routes over the middle of the field. Sure. By the way, it's not the routes that he's best at. His best routes are running deep and outbreaking routes. But which one of these quarterbacks is throwing him routes over the middle of the field, Dalton? It ain't Russell Wilson. It ain't your boy Justin Fields. We actually probably want him running go routes and out routes and curl routes if it's Justin Fields, because those were the routes that DJ Moore crushed it on. Those are the routes that from a statistical perspective. But yeah, watching DJ Moore run routes over the middle of the field, not getting the ball, like that's super frustrating. I'm not even the biggest Jerry Jeudy fan in the world, but watching him run intermediate in breaking routes in Sean Payton's offense that are schemed open and Russell Wilson not taking those throws. That is going to happen all year long with George Pickens. You're totally right. Either of these quarterbacks is an upgrade over Kenny Pickett. I do agree with that. But I almost think that we've jumped the shark a little bit with how much of an upgrade they are. This is not a good quarterback room. This is not a good quarterback battle. These are two guys that have better pedigree than they do resumes at this point, if that makes sense. When you whiff on a first-round quarterback, you don't just like fall ass backwards into a great situation usually. And I don't think that the Steelers have found themselves in a great situation. I think they have two guys that present limitations to the offense. And yeah, George Pickens might dominate the targets in a bad offense, in a bad passing offense at least, which to me, I'm not totally out on Pickens this year, but I have him much more as a boom bust wide receiver three than sort of a true wide receiver two, if that makes sense.
And I'm sure Pickens will be fine when things aren't accurate thrown totally. His way. Okay, so here's why I have it ranked over. It's just Pickens only game in town versus these maybe better receivers with the targets. So you think DJ Moore, I'll concede, but you think Pickens should be behind for sure. Devonta Smith?
Yes.
DK Metcalf, with who JSN really could emerge there, and there's Lockett. Yes. I mean, you're still taking DK Metcalf.
Okay. We'll talk JSN in a bit. And I actually do have I have Metcalf a little lower than consensus just because I am high on JSN, but I still think I would still take Metcalf over Pickens.
Okay, Houston receivers, Dell, Diggs.
Easy, yeah. But I mean they're in the same tier for me. But I don't care if the target tree is convoluted. I would much rather take two guys that I think are better players attached to CJ Stroud than George Pickens attached to like, oh my god, I hope Justin Fields gets out there.
Okay, three more. These two together, Pittman and Zay Flowers.
Yeah, Pittman for sure. Flowers, I actually have one spot behind Pickens, so I'd concede that one.
Ravens quietly don't rack up wide receiver points at all. No. Like, that's why Bateman's going to be thin. I mean, Andrews has like a 40% target share in the red zone. Okay, the guy I'm having the hardest time ranking now, and really we can open up a whole conversation about him now, is Rashi Rice. What are we doing with him? Another guy you don't like as a real-life player maybe as much, but he was actually effective on plays that weren't designed to him. And he has Mahomes there, Marquise Brown dealing with a serious injury. I love Worthy, but how much he's going to be an impact. So where do we have Rashi Rice ranked in this tier? Assuming he's even in this one for you, he's moved up in a lot of drafts.
Yeah. He's not in the same tier as Pickens for me. I actually have him a tier below. I feel better about Pickens than I do a lot of these like second year receivers. I love drafting these second year receivers. I just think Pickens projects a little bit better than these guys. For Rashi Rice, he has been and definitely still remains the highest ranked Chiefs receiver for me. Even though I don't love his full field skill set, I think there's a little bit of an Amon-Ra St. Brown thing here where I don't want to come into his second season constantly harping on what Rashi Rice can't do. Because, like, dude, don't get me wrong. There are definitely things that Rashi Rice cannot do. He did not show to be a great route runner in single man coverage. He did not show to be a guy that could win downfield as a separator, but he was really good on short and intermediate routes and not just Mickey Mouse design routes. I mean, he definitely had a very Mickey Mouse route tree. I've joked it's more of a route shrub than a route tree, his rookie season usage, but we've also seen guys expand beyond that. I think he's very much in the Juju Smith-Schuster, Jarvis Landry archetype as a player. I especially really like that Jarvis Landry comparison. I would just rather have that than, Marquise Brown, who is already certainly coming into the season with an injury. That's a big question mark. And even Xavier Worthy, like, I just think the target projection is so much cleaner for Rashi Rice. But yeah, he's still a tier below Pickens to me.
Okay, so you're putting Pickens at the end of that tier of all the guys I said, and then we're starting a new one there with Rice. And would you put either of these in the one below, or this is a new tier for me? T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson, Chris Godwin, Kirk, Keenan Allen, Worthy. Oh, you have McLaurin pretty high, actually. I have McLaurin in this group. Do you like Jay? I mean, Jaden Daniels can. Maybe I'm underrating how much he can throw. I think he threw more last year than like my guy Richardson had in college. I mentioned last podcast, but maybe I'm underrating his passing ability too.
I have McLaurin and Johnson and T. Higgins all in that Pickens tier, not in the Rashi Rice JSN tier. Tier five to me. And actually, I do like some of the players in tier five, but tier five, I'll just talk about some of these players in a bit, but this is where I really want to take second year receivers, and I'm not all that jazzed about some of the veterans in this group. But yeah, McLaurin, man, look, I said this on the podcast with Renee Miller that I am a compromised source when it comes to Terry McLaurin, because the first thing that comes out of my mouth is I want Terry McLaurin to have a season that is level with his talent. Well, if I want it to happen, then I'm going to start trying to find reasons to build that case, if that makes sense. But with McLaurin, I do think that this offense is going to – they're going to run fast. I think he's clearly the best receiver on that roster, although I have Jahan Dotson ranked higher than consensus just because I think he's an underrated player, and I think he's got to have a – I think he's going to have a really nice role for this team.
Slot,
he's going to
right?
play in this. He's going to play in the slot, and but he's still going to be on the field in two receiver sets. So I think Dotson is a screaming value, definitely a post-hype sleeper type of candidate. Somebody I've taken a lot, and like I said, I have him ranked way ahead of consensus, Jahan Dotson. I've got him at wide receiver 46. He's consensus wide receiver 16, or excuse me, wide receiver 62 on Fantasy Pros consensus rankings. I'm 16 spots ahead of consensus. So, yeah, I do like Jahan Dotson, but other than that, like, there's not a lot of established names on this receiver depth chart. Jaden Daniels, yeah, we got to keep him healthy behind that offensive line and as a scrambler, but he definitely was a very accurate passer in college. It's just more about long-term development, I think, is the question, more so with Jaden Daniels rather than immediate passing impact. I have Jaden Daniels in my third tier of quarterbacks, which means he's a clear-cut QB1 for me.
Oh, I moved him above. Yeah, he's my QB8 right now. Nice. Man, the highlights are going to make him go up high too. Okay, I'm moving McLaurin up, and I will probably move Pickens down. I got to concede a little there. We'll see. But you bring up fair arguments, definitely concerns, and I've been frustrated at myself for drafting receivers with bad quarterback play and tried to swear off it in the past. Producer Colin says, is he the most overrated wide receiver in the NFL, Pickens? I mean, I guess he's going to be
no guy this year. He's not the most overrated wide receiver in the NFL. He's the wide receiver that you can't have a normal conversation about. That's the George Pickens take, because there are some people that think he's legitimately terrible and like he's as good of a separator as DJ Chark or something like that. Him and Quentin Johnston both can't separate. Like, no, he's not that player. He's actually got some good. I had a good conversation with Scott Barrett about this, actually, because he listened to me talk about Pickens on ETR, the Establish the Run podcast. And, I mentioned that Pickens has not shown to be a consistent separator and a consistent route runner really at any level, because he's just not a consistent player. And like there's some effort level we need more of, especially on those short and intermediate routes. But he's definitely been an inconsistent route runner there. But he was really good at that in college. That was Scott's point. And it's true. Like, if you look at George Pickens's prospect profile on reception perception, actually some of his best routes were some of those base NFL routes, like digs and curls and slants, like just the boring, not going to make the highlight reel, but you're going to compile targets, you're going to compile opportunity on those routes. So that's what's weird about Pickens, is that there was evidence on his college film that he could do that, and he just hasn't done it yet in the NFL. So again, like, what are you holding on to? So no, he's not the most overrated wide receiver in the NFL. We just can't have a normal conversation, because it's either people think he's DJ Chark and some people think he's like a tier one receiver, and you all are too stupid to know it. I say that all the time about Pickens, but that is what it is. I want to talk about some of these guys that I'm higher on than consensus, Dalton, and I want you to tell me which ones you like and which ones you don't. I'll just throw them at you, and you can pick which ones you like, which ones you don't, whichever one you want to lead on first. These are the guys I'm higher on than consensus: Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Roma Dunze, Curtis Samuel, of course, Michael Wilson, and Rashad Bateman. And the Bateman thing, look, I just have him at wide receiver 60 as opposed to wide receiver 70. I understand that it's thin, as you said, and that he's probably at best the third pass catcher on this team. So I'm not like crazy high on Bateman, but he's a late round player that I really like.
I've always been a Bateman guy. I was drafting him last year, and I hope he does stay healthy. And I do believe he's capable of being a better player. Unfortunately, I don't disagree with any of these. Yeah, I'm coming around on JSN. Just you look at how criminal he was used last year, and you give him a pass for coming off wrist surgery and grub. They're running a bunch of plays already in the first preseason game. Rome, I'm all in with you. It's Keenan Allen's 285 pounds. I don't have any arguments with your guys here, unfortunately. Curtis Samuel I've written as my sleeper receiver for sure. Although Buffalo, it does look like they're going to rotate a ton. Yeah. And I think it might
We'll talk about
there.
Buffalo in a second, but yeah.
And Michael Wilson, yeah, I'm the number two in Arizona. I love every single play. I keep hyping up Connor, Murray, And McBride and Wilson could easily be their wide receiver two without, you know, much competition. Zay Jones, he's running ahead of all offseason, and he put up some really interesting underlying stats. So, and I think they're going to run a ton of plays there in Arizona. So, unfortunately, I can't hate on any of these picks.
Yeah, Michael Wilson's been one of my favorite drafts. Like, I've taken him in just almost every draft I've been in lately, in like the 11th round or something like that. I have him many, like 15 spots ahead of consensus. Jahan Dotson's the only one of like a top 70 receiver that I have higher than consensus. Although I will say, I assume producer Colin made this, outline for us today. Shout out to him. Like I said, a lot going on in my life. I couldn't really chip in on the outline. I assume this was him. Maybe it was you, Dalton. I don't know. But pretty shocking that if Colin put this outline together, he listed all these receivers I'm higher on than consensus and didn't put the fact that I have Jalen Tolbert, his favorite player in the NFL, as wide receiver 73, when he's the consensus ranked wide receiver 105. That is actually the player, if you look at just, the raw numbers, that I'm most highest on consensus. I have Jalen Tolbert at a screaming value, wide receiver 73 compared to wide receiver 105. I'm like very, very lightly putting some credibility into this whole Jalen Tolbert hype into the offseason. But anyways, let's move on.
What if CeeDee Lamb does suffer an injury? There actually is upside there. I had him too low. I just bumped him up my wide receiver 72. Yeah, I've been taking him late. Yeah.
All right, let's move on, and let's rapid fire some conviction on convoluted wide receiver rooms, Dalton, because we've talked about these, I'll say, four crowded receiver rooms a lot this summer. But for the new listeners, I kind of want to hit on these because they're very critical points in drafts this summer. We've got the Green Bay Packers, we've got the Buffalo Bills, we've got the Houston Texans, and we've got the Chicago Bears. I don't want to spend 30 minutes breaking down all these wide receiver rooms, but I just want to know, Dalton, if there's anything that's happened in the last, we'll say, 3 weeks, as training camps have gotten started, that has maybe had you harden a previous stance on this room or kind of changed your mind about this wide receiver rotation for all four of these teams. And I want to start in Chicago because you mentioned that Keenan Allen apparently is 320 pounds. I'm for the people who aren't chronically online on fantasy Twitter, apparently there was some report. I think Albert Breer wrote in his, was it Albert Breer? Did you see, like, that I want to right. get this right. Yeah,
I think so.
Albert Breer just like threw out that Keenan Allen weighs 230 pounds. And naturally, anytime there's fantasy or there's weight discussions, fantasy Twitter, very well known for its health, seems to want to rip a player for their weight. Again, fantasy Twitter, definitely really known for their health. Anyways, just think that's interesting, I guess. But you mentioned Roma Dunze, who I have had ranked ahead of Keenan Allen throughout the entire process. And I do feel better about that, just the more and more I've kind of thought about that and their potential usage on this team.
Yeah, I haven't personally made any changes. Keenan Allen looked about the same size that he did last year in training camp, but it's something to pay not to totally ignore. I'm willing to change that in the next report, but I'm fine with drafting all three of these guys. If Allen falls in your draft because he's a boring veteran, you're in PPR, go for it. You want to take a Dunze aggressive, you think he's the real deal, go for that too. And DJ Moore is just so, so good. I mean, when we first saw in the preseason, he's going to be, fine with Caleb Williams as his new QB.
Yeah, the words of Ben Gretsch are ringing around in my head a lot about this receiver room, because I've seen some of the kind of discussion about, the usage between Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen in the Bears' first preseason game. Ben's point about the job is not to get the week one depth chart right or the week one rotation.
100%.
I think, Keenan Allen's going to open the season ahead of Roma Dunze for sure. But I would be shocked if Roma Dunze is not heavily, heavily involved in like a clear-cut starter by November or, when the weeks really matter. So maybe Rome is a guy that if you draft, you're not going to be able to use him. And you might even almost be like thinking about dropping him at some point during the year, early on, like in September, but he is somebody I definitely want on my rosters. That guy is such a good player, extremely talented prospect. Somebody that I would be stunned if like Caleb Williams by middle of the year is not like, I need this guy on the field more.
Are you taking him over Worthy? Are you taking him? Well, I don't know if you're still going to do we were debating this if you're for a possible column, but you are taking him over Worthy. All right. Interesting. I like that take. I'm all in.
I have
Worthy.
Him a full tier ahead
a
of
full
Xavier
tier.
Worthy.
I don't love to hear it. Okay. All right. Too small. Can't beat press. He beat press as an X receiver in college better than like stars.
No,
we'll see.
No,
we'll
did.
See. All right. Well, Jacob Gibbs' numbers say that he was pretty good as an ex receiver against press. But all right, maybe you're overhyping that that one where he got knocked down and you're falling for the preseason.
Dude, honestly, I felt bad for Xavier Worthy on that clip. I felt bad for him. I think, but yeah, he did get tossed out the clip.
All right, we'll see there. I mean, already Mark Hollywood Brown suffering a serious injury. You don't even like Rice. I mean, Travis Kelce's 34 years old. I don't know, man. What's the fastest player in NFL history with Patrick Mahomes? I mean, it sounds like a pretty low upside. Yeah.
He's going to have nice weeks. And I would guarantee you that, like, when I chart his season next year, I bet Xavier Worthy runs fewer than 12% of his routes against press. They're going to scheme him in ways that doesn't really matter.
Sure, exactly. All right, then.
But
yeah,
I don't think his skill set's 120 target type of player. But I'm not super low on Worthy. Like, I have Worthy in line with ADP. I'm not out on taking him. I'm high on Rome. It's not an anti-Worthy thing. I'm high on Roman Dunes.
Okay, Rome or JSN? I have them back to back. What? And they've got to go. Okay, JSN easily. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, JSN, right, dude. I'm very, very.
So you're really in on him. Yeah.
Really in on JSN, man. I think that skill set is perfect for Ryan Grubb's offense. He was so good on intermediate routes last year. And yeah, he's a guy I have pretty far ahead of consensus, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Like, if you're using my rankings, you're going to end up drafting JSN this year. Let's just put it that way. How about in Green Bay, Buffalo, Houston? Any of those rooms, do you feel differently than you did a few months ago? Any sort of clarity come from those rooms for you the last couple of weeks?
Just that Tank Dell was a little annoying that his ADP rise because of that touchdown catch when if you looked at it, you know, his route, he didn't play the two receiver sets with Diggs, but I'm still a Dell guy. Hope he can stay healthy. Only take is in Buffalo is that it's going to be a rotation and frustrating. Curtis Samuel's still the guy I want there, but I don't expect any receiver there to have a major fantasy difference maker. Green Bay, Wicks looks awesome. Sean Siegel, I think, compared him to like Debo, which I found is such an interesting comp. He could emerge as the number one receiver this year and be the last one drafted, but obviously people are hyping him. Romeo Doubs, the coaches still keep praising. He could be the value here in fantasy. I mean, it's a lame answer with best ball, but these receivers are going to trade weeks, having big weeks, and it's going to be frustrating. But don't underestimate Doubs, because I know we wrote him off, but he's improved as a player. The coaches clearly like him. He led the team in targets in the playoffs in the games that mattered most. So don't discount him. Doubs is actually emerging as the leader in targets on the Packers this year.
Yeah, and by the way, Romeo Doubs is a pretty good player. Matt LaFleur said, I think this week, I want to throw up every time, or I want to vomit every time I hear who's the number one receiver on this team. I almost kind of want to throw up too, because I've been asked about it so many times. I'm almost ready to just get to the games. But yeah, I have Doubs ranked, and it's all very close, but I have Doubs ranked right ahead of Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks, just because he's going to be on the field the most. Now, I have Jaden Reed significantly ahead of all of them, but it's because I think he's the best player of the four. But, you know,
but he could be a heartbreaker fantasy if he's getting drafted like the clear number one guy near the designs, you know, all the designs. I mean, I'm with you. He's a great player. But, man, I feel like he just let whomever falls later. Right.
Yeah. Take a shot on these receivers. And same thing with the Texans, too. I wrote that in my draft blueprint piece that I want you to try to leave your drafts with one Texans receiver. Obviously, Nico Collins, you have to kind of be in the right spot in the early rounds to get him, but like, I love picking in that fourth tier of receivers. I love taking a Tank Dell or a Stephon Diggs, and just, you know, this is a, I think we're right about to have a very unique situation with this passing offense and this receiver room. So I love taking my shots on those guys, but I feel pretty similarly with the Packers. And yeah, with Jaden Reed, he goes the earliest. I think that's right. I think he should go the earliest. But that doesn't mean I don't like taking a Doubs I usually don't get Watson just because I have him ranked lower than ADP. And I love taking Wicks, too. Wicks is a really fun guy to take at the end of your draft. So, yeah, it's definitely it's tough. I mean, it's going to be a big rotation, but for sure I like taking any of these players. Okay.
Dude, Nico, Dell, and Diggs Harmon with no running game. I'm picking CJ Stroud to win MVP this year. I think. I mean, that should be a fun division. They get to play the Colts twice. They get to play the Titans twice. I mean, that should be a monster season from Stroud with those receivers. I mean, I hope they can stay healthy. It could be a special year offensively.
100%. And yeah, lastly with Buffalo, I don't mind taking any of these receivers. I do have Curtis Samuel ranked the highest. I think Khalil Shakir is a really, really nice slot receiver who can play a little bit outside. Was a big fan of him as a prospect. Keon Coleman, I think, is going to be developed a little bit slowly. I haven't gotten a lot of him at ADP. And Matt Collins is going to be like, Matt Collins is what what people think Romeo Doubs is. Romeo Doubs is a better player than Matt Collins, who is going to be doing the sacrificial X receiver thing in Buffalo. But he's going to be on the field a lot, which is just going to take opportunity away from some of these other receivers. So I think we kind of got a good sense of these crowded wide receiver rooms and sort of how we feel. Let's take one last quick break. When we come back, we will talk sleepers, late round targets, especially, and some of the guys we are not drafting at the wide receiver position right after this. All right, we're back, Dalton. Let's talk through some late round guys to target. Who are you drafting in the late rounds this year?
First, if you'll notice, I had written down Samuel and Michael Wilson on here, so I was already on board, not knowing you were going to talk about them. DeMarcus Robinson, I know this is, I'm going to talk about one that's not quite so deep, but I just want your quick opinion on Jordan Whittington. It's getting a lot of buzz here,
I think
the wide receiver three there could, okay, no opinion on him.
I didn't watch him at all in college. Say this, Dalton. some of the catches in that Rams preseason game, you know, admittedly, I watched him at the expo. I watched him, you know, in like the highlights on Twitter in the airport. But I'm like, damn, that did look like a Puka catch. I feel like it's just jackass for saying that, but like some of those catches looked a little Puka adjacent. I'll just say that.
Well, pay attention to that situation. Wide receiver three in the Rams. Robinson does appear locked in entering the year. Puka and my guy Cooper Kupp, certainly injury risk. But Josh Palmer is who I want to talk about.
Okay.
Another player who's improved the more years he's been in the league. Apparently he is suddenly my guy. He ranked top 25 in yards per route run and top 12 in receiving yards per game after Mike Williams went down last year. And now Keenan Allen is gone. Palmer's target per route run rate has jumped to 20% without Williams on the field throughout his career. Quentin Johnston might be the worst receiver in the league. I know you're a Ladd McConkey guy, but he never earned targets in college. He's battled injury throughout college. Now he's currently battling them now. They replaced Austin Eckler with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. So, I mean, how many targets are up for grabs here? So give me Palmer. I have him ranked as my 45th receiver, and he goes way after that. His ECR is wide receiver 55, so I have him like 10 spots above. I'm all in on Palmer as my favorite sleeper wide receiver.
I love that. I actually have him ranked ahead of consensus as well. I have Josh Palmer as my wide receiver 50, so I'm a little bit ahead of consensus here. And yeah, man, I think Palmer's a really nice late round target. I think he's a solid player. I don't think he's a great receiver or anything, but solid NFL player that can get the job done, and he's going to be out there. Now, I was pretty in on the Chargers offense, you know, kind of more of an NFL take than a fantasy take, but I did think that they were going to that was a good hire. They're going to move the offense in the right direction. The Justin Herbert plantar fasciitis thing does have me a little bit worried. I've kind of backed off the aggressive stance on the Chargers offense, but still, I like taking Ladd where he goes, and I like taking Josh Palmer where he goes as well. Any other late round guys you want to throw out before I list some of mine?
No, that was enough. DeMarcus Robinson is deep as it again. I mean, Jalen McMillan on Tampa Bay making some noise. A guy to possibly pay attention to. Ricky Pearsall if Ayuk gets traded. Yeah. But yeah, who are your guys?
Yeah, I'll throw out. You know, I mentioned Michael Wilson. I still like taking Josh Downs, who I've moved down since his injury. But I do like taking him. Still, and also his teammate AD Mitchell, man. I know we're asking Anthony Richardson to do a lot in what is essentially his first extended NFL action, hopefully if he stays healthy. But regardless, I do just love the skill set of those two players. So I've been I almost haven't taken much Michael Pittman early because I really like taking Josh Downs and AD Mitchell later in drafts. So he's a guy I really like there. I mentioned Jahan Dotson, like taking him. Rashid Shaheed, if he counts as a late round pick, which I've generally got him in the double digit rounds. I like taking him as well. Good route runner over the middle. I think he's going to earn more targets than people think. And he should be I'm excited about Chris Olave, although I do have Chris Olave ranked below consensus, which I hate to say because I'm a big Olave talent fan, but I've got him at wide receiver 16. He's consensus ranked wide receiver 10, which, I mean, man, that is aggressive for a player like Chris Olave. So I don't want to be an anti-Chris Olave guy just because I'm one of the most pro Olave as a player take out there guy, but still, I think Rashid Shaheed can actually do some stuff in this offense as well. I mentioned Rashad Bateman. Jalen Polk is another one that I like taking very late. I think his skill set lines up with both of the quarterbacks here in New England, and I feel like he's going to be on the field from day one.
Love Rashid Shaheed. Should be more motion there with Kubiak there. Josh Downs had more fantasy points than Pittman before he suffered an injury last year. Downs, love him. Hopefully that high ankle sprain does not linger. Okay, one more guy I just thought of who I'm going to bring up, and you just brought up a rookie. This rookie goes a little higher than Polk, but Brian Thomas.
Ooh, I mean, yes.
Conflicting things, and now it's like, oh man, is he just going to overtake Kirk? I mean, I know that he had some flaws in his resume, but moved him up to my wide receiver 40 right now, right behind Rome. Is that too high?
No, I have him at wide receiver 42, and I've had him there all along, Dalton. Okay. Dildon. I actually might move him up to the top of tier 6, where I have Ladd McConkey at wide receiver 40. I had DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver 41. I almost would guarantee I'd click Brian Thomas over DeAndre Hopkins at this point. Yeah. So I might as well go ahead and make that change. This is a good transition actually into our biggest fades, because one of my biggest fades is Christian Kirk. Look, love the player. Good. I like the player. I think he fits that role really well. I think there's a good chemistry between him and Trevor Lawrence. I haven't taken much Evan Engram at tight end either. The one guy I want to take in Jacksonville is Brian Thomas. John Shipley, a great Jaguars beat writer, he's been tweeting out about how, like, the difference between Brian Thomas at the start of camp and now is huge. He obviously had that big catch in the preseason game, which is certainly going to boost up that ADP for sure. But he is definitely a guy I really like taking. He's one of my top rookie wide receiver targets. I have him ranked well ahead of consensus. Sounds like you do too. I have been generally fading almost all the other Jaguars pass catchers and taking Brian Thomas Jr. He might not come out of the gate super hot. There's a chance he's a bit of a Polaroid, slow developing picture, as Scott Pienowski likes to say it, but regardless, I think he's going to be on the field early, and I think that he's going to have high weekly upside with his role and skill set.
Am I crazy to say he could have a better rookie season this year than Calvin Ridley has in Tennessee? Is that a stretch?
No.
Hopkins returns week 2 and eats all the targets in a bad offense, right? I mean, I don't love Ridley this year. Are you getting him anywhere? I mean, I don't want to just say it because we were burned last year, but I don't know. Is there optimism? Should we, like, am I burying him too much? Like, am I just because of getting burned last year? Because I'm just never clicking him. Hopkins goes later. He eats all the targets.
Yeah, but I was in on Hopkins and Ridley being close, but the fact that one of the guys is hurt already coming into the year and is a little bit further on the age scale, plays in what should be a more volatile role as that X receiver, that's made me push Hopkins down, and it's actually pushed Ridley up a little bit for me. I've been clicking Ridley a little bit. He's
Where is he? Where do you have Ridley?
36, so like in line with
ADP.
Okay.
That's right where I have him. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's in line with ADP.
Brian Thomas is a little below him. All right. We're on board here. Okay. I got you. He's a safer pick. No question. Okay.
Yeah. You can take both these guys. I generally like taking those second year receivers like JSN, Jaden Reed, Rashee Rice over Calvin Ridley. But I don't mind if I need a receiver 3 and Calvin Ridley's there, or if I'm doing a wide receiver heavy build and he's there, I don't mind taking him. Yeah. It's funny that, like, amount of discourse on Calvin Ridley last year and then 365 days later, it feels like, look, it's always stupid when somebody says nobody's talking about this guy, but I'm going to do it. It does feel like nobody's really talking about Calvin Ridley just because of how much he burned people last year. And I don't think there's a lot of general faith in Will Levis as a quarterback, but some of the routes that I want to see Ridley run more, which is these routes over the middle of the field, working against man coverage as that flanker receiver or zone coverage. Like, Will Levis can fit the ball into tight windows. Can he do it consistently and accurately? That's another question. But I do like how those two guys line up together. I'm fine with Calvin Ridley. He's not a fade player for me. So I mentioned not really drafting any of those Jaguars pass catchers beyond Brian Thomas, who I am higher than consensus on. I haven't really been drafting very much of Keenan Allen because I'm higher on Rome Odunze. I haven't been drafting very much of Christian Watson because I don't think there's big separation between him and, you know, Romeo Doubs or Dontayvion Wicks. I mentioned Chris Olave is a guy I regrettably have below consensus. Are there any guys that you are actively avoiding this year, Dalton Del Don?
I've been drafting Jefferson ahead of Chase. Chase's best season by yards per game and yards per out run would be Jefferson's worst of his career. I just worry about Burrow's health with a wrist and this. Since opposing defenses went to the two high safeties against them, his ADOT has just been toward the bottom of the league. Puka Nacua, even before the injury, I just had Kupp right there with him, and then Nacua's ADP was so much higher. He battled so many injuries throughout college. Love the player, but I just have Coop straight up ranked ahead of him right now. Davante Adams, again, his floor is high, but I just don't see the upside there as the second round pick. And then I've taken Tank Dell. I prefer Tank Dell over Diggs. I don't have a lot of Diggs. That one could come back to bite me. And then Pittman, man, in PPR leagues, I know he's a good player that you like, but he goes at like the beginning of the third round in some of these leagues, and it's just too rich for me. And we're ranking in half PPR. I just think Downs is going to eat a lot of those targets, and my guy Richardson's going to run in a lot of their touchdowns. So I have not been clicking Pittman a lot. And it bothers me because I know he's a good player.
Yeah, it bothers me too that I don't. Like, when I click on Pittman, it's usually because he's the last guy in that tier of receivers that I really like. It's not with, like, a lot of, like, like, last year I took so much Michael Pittman because I thought he was way, you know, ranked way too low. He was very underrated because, you know, similar to what we just talked about with Calvin Ridley. Actually, there's maybe a little bit of overlap there. Similar to what we talked about with Calvin Ridley, Pittman burned people the previous year because he was, what, like a third-round pick with dead-armed Matt Ryan. And it's like, oh, is he that good? Whatever. Anthony Richardson, you know, rookie quarterback. And then, yeah, Pittman ended up being one of the better value picks in fantasy last year. I mean, that's actually kind of an interesting kind of dichotomy there between him and Calvin Ridley, who I just talked about. But regardless, yeah, I haven't been clicking him with a lot of conviction this year, whereas last year I definitely was. All right, Dalton, let's bring this thing home. Let's give the people one last piece of advice for how to handle wide receivers in their drafts. What do you got?
You do not want to be behind in the position. I try to come away with at least four through the first seven rounds. Obviously, every league is different. But yeah, it's a super important position. And as we pointed out, you know, the tiers are important to follow because there could be gigantic ones this year. So pay attention to tiers.
Yes. And on the tiers note, don't be afraid to draft into the unknown in your tiers. Some of these crowded receiver rooms that we've talked about, because contingent value matters so much. Yeah, right now, the Packers wide receiver room looks like a mess. Right now, the Texans wide receiver room looks crowded. 2 weeks into the season, injuries could really make some clarity there. And if you happen to be the one that drafts Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs misses time, or you draft Dontayvion Wicks, it's like, oh, he's the fourth receiver on the depth chart, and then Christian Watson misses time again. Well, you just got a pretty nice value there. So don't be afraid to draft into uncertainty on the tiers. And secondly, I do think you, and I look, this is right after Dalton Del Don's heart. Don't be afraid to draft into youth at the position. This is a young man's position. Look at Dalton's already smiling there on the other end. Like, yeah, draft into youth, baby. Look, if you're in that tier that I mentioned earlier, where sure, there's Chris Godwin and you know, whatever. I'm cool. I like Godwin this year. I like Deontay Johnson this year, but I don't mind you taking the upside shot with the Tank Dell. You know, tier five. It's why I've got JSN, Jaden Reed, Rashee Rice ahead of the Calvin Ridleys and the Christian Kirks and the Keenan Allens. Like, take your shot on youth and upside at the wide receiver position. Dalton, I know that is a philosophy that you're along with me there.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't take much convincing to get me on board with that one. I like it, Harmon. Hey, man, great talking receivers with you. Hope things are going well for you. And, man, we're all thinking of you, and we missed you, man. It's great to have you back.
Yes, appreciate it. I hope to be back in the saddle here going forward. We'll see how things play out. But for now, that is going to do it. Hell of a podcast with you, Dalton. I could not miss this episode, and it was absolutely electric. I mean, my God, we covered the wide receiver position in an absurd amount of depth for a position that has an absurd amount of depth. So, again, really appreciate that. But one last note before we go. If you listen to this entire podcast and you are not signed up for a Yahoo Fantasy Football League right now, I question your sanity. I question what you're doing with your life. Honestly, we just spent over an hour talking about wide receivers. If you are not signed up for a league already, what are you doing? with your life. If that guilt and that shame is not enough for you, if my disappointment and my questioning of your sanity is not enough for you, I'll give you one more reason. Yahoo Sports and NBC are teaming up for a $1 million sweepstakes. Here's how you enter. Sign up for a private Yahoo Fantasy Football League and draft your team. Boom. Easy enough. But if you draft any of the players that start in the week one games and score a touchdown in the week one games on NBC and Peacock, you are going to earn bonus entries into the sweepstakes. Each person can earn up to 8 entries, one just for signing up, easy enough, but also up to 7 more for touchdowns scored in the 3 games. Jalen Hurts is going to score a lot of touchdowns in week one, probably, if you take him in your league, scores a touchdown, you're going to be entered. Extra entries into those sweepstakes, baby. Sounds pretty awesome to me. The deadline for entries is September 5th. So visit yahoo.com/fantasymillion to join. That was fantastic. Thanks again to Dalton Del Don for a great wide receiver preview on Friday. Position preview week continues by looking at the glamour guys of fantasy, the tight end position. Oh, people are just going to be out of their seats excited for that. Until then, we're out.